Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. I'll post a link below this interview to that website. I'll also be posting another link to a special event that Joel is putting on with his team, including Rob Friesen and Dennis Dick on August 21st on the weekend. This is geared towards traders, active traders that want to learn a little bit more about some of the strategies that the team takes. And well, Joel, I'll let you explain a little bit more about this event. Now, the link I'm going to post below is for all U.S. people to sign up. Unfortunately, Canadians are not able to attend this event. Joel, what are you going to be presenting? What are you going to be getting across in this webinar, please?
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Chad, for having me today. This one will not be available to Canadian customers, but you can make sure the next one will. It's an introduction to professional trading, but I kind of like to, it's going to be a little bit more than that. It's going to be really introduction to professional investing. Yeah, you can look at the short-term moves in the markets, but a bunch of short-term moves in the markets make up long-term moves. So we're going to, break down, the show, how we do the show, make it more understanding to people. So when they're watching it, they can get more content out of it. We're going to discuss specific strategies. Rob Friesen, the creator of Stock Odds, is going to come on and talk about things from a purely statistical fashion, which is a unique way and a hedge way to trade the market. So we're doing it on a Saturday just because we're not worried about the markets. We're not worried about individual positions, and we can concentrate on our listening audience. And I think if anything, the last half hour will be for Q&A. That's what people are really going to enjoy. But thanks for bringing it up.
Absolutely. Joel, I appreciate your segments and what you do on the Pre-Market Prep Show. So I think this event is worth attending. Unfortunately, I'm in Canada, so I cannot attend. But again, I will be posting that link below. Let's move into the markets here, Joel, and let's start off with gold, because gold had a really rough about 3-day trading period to end last week and kick off this week. Some big drops that came on the night session, Sunday night and early Monday morning. That was all following the good jobs number on Friday, which caused another drop in gold. Overall, gold is continuing in a downtrend, and I think one of the, more important aspects of the recent drop, especially in the early hours trading on Monday, was that the waterfall decline stopped out right around that 1670 level. However, look, the downtrend that's been in place for a year, still intact. What's your takeaway from that weakness in gold?
Yeah, full disclosure, unfortunately, I still have the GLD and the GDX, and I'm probably breaking even or maybe even losing a little money on it now. We just discussed the trading range, and man, oh man, 18.40, that support was holding. 17.90, it moved out to 18.10, and it fell out of the bottom of the trading range. That was exacerbated by probably some sell stops. I think that maybe the Japanese markets weren't open, so you didn't have as much liquidity. And they just raped the sell stops on that. And they took it down to, I believe it was 1677.90. And then you got that classic bounce back yesterday, right to the old resistance. So, man, I'm just going to say, hey, if you're looking for any kind of upside here in the gold market, boy, until we clear 1750, 1760, the old lows of the move, I don't know if we're going to get down to test that area, because that was kind of like a fake HFT washout low. No one needs gold anymore. Who's wearing jewelry? It's really not inflation hedge. I think people are more looking towards, Bitcoin perhaps as an asset class. So, I'd say breaking out of the trading range and then, just not really being a hedge for inflation. You get the combination. It's really, for the most part, it's gone nowhere for years. And now you know why a lot of people do not use it as a as an asset or as a hedge against inflation.
Well, Joel, you know, there was also a rise in the U.S. dollar, and then the 10-year rates uptick some, and that usually pressures gold. Do you think that had anything to do with it, or do you think it's something else that has gold pulling back as hard as it did?
No, you're right. You're right. It was the hot jobs number. You know, I have to, I guess, readjust my thinking, because if you think about higher rates, that means inflation. Gold was known or was previously used as a hedge against inflation. So I just don't understand it anymore. And usually when you don't understand things, it's probably not to be invested in them. And I just like that move on Friday, on Monday, it just kind of, you know, it's just kind of why it makes me just wash my hands and walk away and wait till it can reclaim some technical levels. But and also, you know, gold, I mean, gold stocks have been in a trading range. You lose the bottom of the trading range and boom, there you go. So there it is. I mean, I wish I had something more to say than that, but definitely the strong jobs number got it going, and it's continuing. Hopefully it can get back over 1760.
So 1760, a key level to watch. But Joel, how concerned should gold bugs be about a further drop or, quite frankly, the end of this bull market? You can make the argument that the bull market in gold started at the tail end of 2015 when gold bottomed around, let's say, that 1050 level. But now that, well, we've seen a top, we're still not in a bear market down by 20%, but overall, this downtrend is continuing. How worried do gold bugs need to be that the bull market's over?
If they lose 1,700, for sure. That 16, that low we had, 1,677.90, that matches that low that you had in March of 21. It's 1,682. This is called, 1,680, 1,700. You could see underneath that. That's when you had the big flush in gold. That was in March and April. I mean, you're looking, if you can't hold the 1700, maybe bump it, give it a zone 1680 to 1700. I mean, there's nothing on the monthlies to take you down to that April low of 1637.20. And if you think about it, I mean, and over the last few years, yeah, we've had that run in gold in last year in June and July, August when it made that high. But it just seems like the big days are just down days. You know, the big volatile sessions are on the downside, and that's not good. So yeah, 1700. I'm looking at the April low of 2020 at 1637.20.
Well, Joel, you'd also mentioned just in your opening comment there that it could be that the cryptos are taking away some of gold shine. And so we've heard that narrative for a while that, hey, money's leaving gold to get into the cryptos. And then when the cryptos sold off, we also heard, okay, that money will rotate back into gold, which didn't really happen as much. Some people see them as completely separate asset classes, but there are a lot of people that, that are seeing the Bitcoin and Ethereum and other altcoins as a way to store money outside the system. They've had a good run recently. Do you think that's some of it too, that's pressuring gold? Is just the move into cryptos again?
Yeah. I mean, you do have the futures kind of, I mean, it's created a new asset class, right? And whether you want to, believe that or not, it is, it's there. So if you create a new asset class and you have to do, asset allocations, you got to pull your money from somewhere. And it just seems like, this market has been such a rotating market, right? The reason we never have these big down days, if they're selling tech, they're buying value, vice versa. If they're selling value, they're looking, at other areas of the market. So there's always this rotation. But you know what? It doesn't seem like there's ever that major rotation into gold. It just seems like, managers, whether they replaced it in Bitcoin or not, it just never see, you never just get that sustained rotation. It's more of a, Roach Motel. They let you in, but they don't let you out. And so that's it. It's just overall less institutional participation, and some of that has gone into Bitcoin.
You're right. But Well, we are also in the middle, I guess, of this slower summer trading session. Overall, though, a couple more drops like we saw at the tail end of last week and early this week could take gold down into that bear market territory of 20% plus lower. Joel, what about U.S. equity markets? They are continuing to be fairly boring, but they're boring up near all-time highs. Doesn't really seem like any news can throw traders off of that buy-the-dip mentality. What's your takeaway from the U.S. equity market still continuing to hang around those all-time highs?
Yeah, dog days of August, you know, you talk about the, you know, coming to the end of summer. I guess no one in Europe is working right now. And, you know, it's been a long year and a half for people. Kids aren't going back to school, hopefully. And so I just think, you know, you get, you know, you take your summer vacations, you do get your tight ranges. But overall, I mean, the VIX is coming down, right? And when the VIX comes down, that just means higher prices, less volatility. So you did have a trading range for 3 days after that jobs number, Friday, Monday. You busted out a little bit out of it today. But the low volatility, I mean, still favors, you know, higher prices.
Well, Joel, are you paying any attention to the news about the infrastructure bill? They're getting ready to sign that this week. How do you think that may affect the markets, or do you think it's already priced in?
I think a lot of it is priced in. But, you know, you never can actually know. I mean, the moves in U.S. steel over the last few days. So, yeah, I would just, when you have your targets and whatnot, and, you know, if you get the spikes and the targets, take it. I'm in TOLZ for, you know, an infrastructure play. It looks like I almost bought the high in that one. I think a lot of it's already factored in to the market. Also, you know, it's going to take, you know, they're not going to deploy all the money at one time. So it's going to be over the course of time that they do it. So, I would have to say, you know, some of it is already baked into the market.
All right, Joel, we'll get you out of here. I know that you are in a rush, but I do appreciate you taking some time to share with us your insights on the market. And look, quite frankly, we are still in summer trading, but there are some trends that are continuing, whether you like them or not, and that is something to note. Don't fight those trends, especially when they're building on themselves and extending into one plus year territory. U.S. equity markets, man, that bull market just keeps on running, even in the face of a lot of doubters. But there also goes to show just how many people are still long and putting more capital to work in those markets. Joel, again, I'll post that link below to that session on August 21st for everyone to sign up to. And I'm sure we'll be chatting next week. So, Joel, have a great rest of your week, buddy.
Hey, thank you.